Be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When the days for Jesus to be taken up were fulfilled, he resolutely determined to journey to Jerusalem, and he sent messengers ahead of him. On the way, they entered a Samaritan village to prepare for his reception there. But they wouldn't welcome him because the destination of his journey was Jerusalem. When the disciples James and John saw this, they asked, "Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven to consume them?" Jesus turned and rebuked them, and they journeyed to another village. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today we have the fulcrum of the Gospel of St. Luke, verse 951, which it says in the Greek, Jesus firmly fixed his face on Jerusalem. Translated here, resolutely determined. But from this point forward, everything that we're going to get in St. Luke, all the great parables of mercy, all the miracles that he's going to work, everything that he's going to preach, is with his face firmly fixed on Jerusalem, which wasn't merely the city of God, as we heard Zechariah proclaim, where God is with us, but in a particular way, the place in which he would go through his paschal mystery, that he would be betrayed by the chief priests and the scribes, that he would be mocked, scourged, crucified, and on the third day, rise. Jesus' face was fixed on Jerusalem, and he wants us to follow him, not just on the outside, but in the inside. He wants us to follow him with that same face, with that glance, kind of like a horse with blinders on, in which we see nothing but Christ and Christ crucified and risen. He wants our entire life to be lived firmly fixed on Jerusalem and all that that means. Jesus desires to have everybody have that same type of face. If we go back to the prophet Zechariah, and I know that you're partially in mourning today, because this is the last time we're going to hear the prophet Zechariah for 2 whole years, because we're in this short little period in which we've got 3 days, for example, of Ezra, 2 days of Haggai, 3 days of Zechariah, 2 days of Nehemiah, and I know that you're screaming for more. But in this last day of Zechariah, Zechariah is all about how God wants everyone to come and be with him who is with us in that place, Jerusalem. But the only way we're going to have that type of communion with God is through the Paschal Mystery. It's not on our terms, it's on God's terms. That's why Jesus, after he announces that he himself is going to suffer, says, unless we pick up our cross every day and follow him, we won't be able to be with him. Because it's only through dying to ourselves that he can rise from the dead within us and be with us in a way that can never be robbed. We see what happens when Jesus is setting his face on Jerusalem. He's going through Samaria. This wasn't his first time in Samaria. You know, the last time he was in Samaria, he met a woman at a well in Shechem, told her everything she had ever done. She ran to tell all the others. They came running to meet Jesus themselves. And at the very end of that encounter, they were all proclaiming, "This is the Savior of the world." But when that Savior of the world is going to be passing through Samaria in order to accomplish the mystery of salvation, They didn't want to have anything to do with him. Because of this dispute that was now going back to the 700s BC between the Jews and the Samaritans. That political, faux religious dispute was far more important to them than embracing the Savior as he was passing by and following him with their face set on Jerusalem. Nope, they refused. But they weren't the only ones who refused. The Boanerges brothers, John and James, constantly ambitious for the greatest places, but who both would ultimately share in what Christ would offer on Calvary, which was his chalice, that they would say that they could drink and would actually drink. But their first reaction to this was to take their eyes off of Jerusalem and say, Lord, can we call down the fire of heaven to destroy this place, just like Sodom and Gomorrah and their terrible inhospitality that sought to molest visitors was destroyed when they had come back after their first apostolic mission. You remember what Jesus said to them as they were telling him what they had accomplished. Jesus said, half jocularly, half truthfully, I saw Satan fallen from the sky. And they wanted to make fire fall from the sky and destroy that place. And Jesus, though, rather than rebuking the Samaritans for their inhospitality, rebuked the Boanerges brothers. This is an important lesson for us in faith. You remember the parable of the weeds and the wheat, in which the helpers wanted to destroy the weeds, and the master of the vineyard, Christ, was far more concerned with the growth of the wheat than the elimination of the weeds. He didn't want them to be overly preoccupied with the weeds. The weeds are going to grow. They're going to be present. He wanted them to bear fruit. In the same way here, he was far less concerned about the inhospitality of the Samaritans. What he really wanted was for those accompanying him resolutely to fix their face where his heart was set. And that can happen with us. God wants us to fix our whole life with him on Calvary. But a lot of the times we become way too petty. We begin to notice when somebody else rubs us the wrong way. We begin to pay attention to somebody who's teaching in a way that's not in alignment fully with the gospel. We can become so concerned with those who aren't treating Jesus aright that we fail to respond to him aright as he wants. Jesus wants us to recalibrate all the time. Where is our face? Is it turned toward his face, that sacred head surrounded on Calvary, peering at us with love through dripping blood? Today we mark the feast of Saint Mother Theodore Guérin. She was born in France in 1798. She herself was touched by the Lord early in life, and she wanted to give herself fully to the Lord as religious. But when she was 15, her father was murdered by bandits, and her mom was an emotional hypochondriac who really was concerned about having her daughter Anne Thérèse care for her and her emotional needs rather than follow the will of God. So for 10 years, keeping the fourth commandment, Anne Thérèse Guérin, I think she was related, frankly, to the parents of Saint Thérèse. She came from the same region of France, and Zélie Martin, her maiden name, was Guérin. I don't know that for sure, but I think it's at least quite possible. But nevertheless, for 10 years she cared for her mother, until she recognized that the Lord was calling her to something deeper, and at 25, needed to strong-arm her mom to give her the permission to enter the Sisters of Providence. And there she did for the next 17 years as a great educator. The age of 42, despite her frail health, after the Mother Superior of that congregation had gotten a letter from the Bishop of Vincennes, Indiana, a diocese that no longer even exists. It's a suffragan. It's a titular see now. Sent a letter asking for educators to come because they needed French teachers for the young children who had no one to teach them. The superior asked Sister Theodore, who was an excellent educator and had leadership qualities, whether she would travel to Indiana and lead that new foundation that never be able really to communicate well or to ask for the permissions and everything else. So she was going to have to be sent to found a whole daughter congregation, not just another house. And she thought about her frail health. She thought about being separated from everything that she knew. All she could count at first were the sufferings that would accompany such a decision. But then she thought about her constitutions and how it said that with zeal they needed to be willing to educate no matter where the Lord would send. So she resolutely set her face on the cross of Christ and she said she would go. She never liked boats, and it was a terrible 4-month journey across the Atlantic and then up rivers, but she made it. Then she founded orphanages, she founded pharmacies, and she founded schools, and eventually universities. And still to this day, there are 200 of her sisters, Sisters of Providence of St. Mary of the Woods in Indiana, continuing her same holy mission. For us, sisters, as we come to Mass today, the Lord wants us to set our face on Him who gives His body and blood to us, just as He did in the Last Supper and on Calvary, to help us from the inside set our face where His face is pointed, which is not just Calvary, but where the cross on Calvary points, to an eternal embrace of the Father, where Saint Mother Theodore Guérin and so many of those children whom she taught about God await us.